Falling, falling, falling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Consumer prices dipped by surprise in March. That's leaving inflation over the past year falling at the fastest clip in more than half a century. We also got word this morning from the Fed that industrial production fell for the fifth straight month. Factories and mines are being utilized at the lowest level in more than 40 years. Let's check the numbers. Dow is down about 34 points at this hour, 0.5%. NASDAQ down about 0.5%, 16 points. And the S&P 500 down about 0.3% at this hour. European stocks lower. Asian markets closed mixed today. Now, the key to stabilizing markets is to get confidence back in the game. That's how the Obama administration wants to play, by releasing information on the nation's 19 largest banks. Reports this morning say there could be a move in the next week to give out certain information on those stress tests. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
When regulators run stress tests on a bank, the results are usually kept private. That way, the bank will be more forthcoming. So when the Treasury began the mother of all stress tests on the nation's 19 biggest banks, it promised to be discreet. But the government didn't consider the world financial system could turn on the results.
It's really kind of a conundrum that they've put themselves in. I'm not sure that the Treasury thought this thing completely through when they launched it a couple months ago.
Rob Cox is with the financial website Breaking Views. The Treasury hopes by releasing some data on banks, it will restore confidence in the overall financial system. But Cox says the government can't say too much.
That is, you didn't want to show, you know, the one guy in the class to have a D while everybody else is walking around with B pluses for fear that you might spark a bank run.
Treasury is now preparing a public guide to explain how to interpret its results. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Well, let's bring in Henry Blodgett, the editor of ClusterStock.com. Henry, all this information, a good thing?
I don't think that necessarily will stabilize the financial markets. I think there has been a lot of frustration with the secrecy of the bank stress tests, and I think releasing the information will help a little bit. The big problem with the stress tests is that most people think that they're not stressful enough. So the suspicion already is that the reason the government is going to release the results is because all the banks will pass with flying colors, and there will be this great illusion that our banks are healthy and we can all stop worrying. And I think that is likely to come under fire as well. But more disclosure is better than less.
More information, obviously, more confidence what the administration is looking for, but we're also getting information. We've got, you know, the consumer price index and industrial output and things like that. And then Intel is talking about how it's difficult in projecting its second quarter because of volatility in the market. So, I mean, is this too much information?
Well, I mean, we've had a string of data over the last 5 weeks or so that has been better than expected. That's why the stock market has been so strong. And what we've seen in the last couple of days now are some pretty harsh reminders that, in fact, we still are in this recession. It's not the races again. And usually when you come through recessions, even if you're actually starting to come out of them, which is possible here, you often have many reverses in the data. So, no, more information is still good, but anyone who thinks that because we had a couple of data points that were expected, it's off of the race again, is probably deluding themselves.
All right. Henry Blodgett, editor of ClusterStock.com. Henry, thank you.
Thank you.
Here's some information you probably already know. It is tax day, and in this day of let me tell the World Wide Web what I'm doing at every second, we figured it'd be nice to hear from some procrastinating tax thoughts from people on Twitter, as voiced by some of the folks here in the office at Marketplace.
Okay, I am really, really going to finish my taxes today. Really, I mean it. Not kidding at all. Really.
I need to do my taxes, or fake my own death.
Shh, don't tell anyone. I called in sick to work today. Gotta get my taxes done.
I heard someone talking about taxes today. When do we have to get those done?
Death and taxes. At least we only die once.
You're listening to The Morning Report on Wednesday, April 15th, 2009, at marketplace.org. 16 days and counting. That's how long Chrysler has to make a deal to join forces with the Italian carmaker Fiat. Otherwise, no more government money, and it's off to bankruptcy court. But as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, Chrysler has a lot of negotiating to do.
Fiat won't partner with Chrysler unless Chrysler gets $6 billion from Washington. And that money won't come unless Chrysler gets concessions from its creditors and its workers first. At the top of the list is about $7 billion owed to banks and hedge funds. Chrysler wants them to forgive more than 80% of that debt.
Is it possible? Yes, I think it is. Chrysler certainly believes that it is.
That's auto industry analyst Eric Merkel. The problem is those creditors think they could get a better deal in bankruptcy court. Merkel says that option could be disastrous.
They could in some way be similar to like the Lehman Brothers of the financial industry, because right now the supply base is in such a tenuous state.
Merkel says if bankruptcy becomes liquidation, suppliers that make even a tiny part for Chrysler cars could shut down. That, he says, could ripple far beyond the auto industry. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, Fiat's CEO tells a Toronto newspaper today he'll walk away from the merger talks unless Chrysler's American and Canadian unions agree to substantial benefit cuts. As we wait for names such as Citigroup and JP Morgan Chase to report earnings this week, one of Europe's largest banks just announced more pain. Swiss bank UBS posted a loss for the first quarter, and with it, an announcement of more job cuts. 8,700 jobs will disappear, several thousand of them right here in the United States. From our European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
Europe's biggest casualty of the credit crunch unveils yet another tale of woe. UBS lost $1.75 billion in the first 3 months of the year. Major job cuts are inevitable, says the bank. A further 11% of its workforce will go. UBS is now fighting on two fronts, trying to stem the continuing losses on toxic assets and battling with the US over alleged tax evasion. Chris Hughes is with the website Breaking Views. He says the bank is struggling to save what was once the world's strongest financial brand.
At the moment, the actions are pretty radical, and they do obviously stand a chance of preserving the franchise. But it's clearly going to be a much smaller, incredibly shrunken franchise compared to what it was at its peak.
Many of the bank's customers are taking fright amid the tax fraud allegations. Clients have pulled around $8 billion out of UBS accounts. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The biggest newspaper company in the country releases earnings tomorrow. Gannett owns USA Today and around 900 other publications around the world. But as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, the chain is getting smaller.
Gannett has boosted its web focus, loaded up on television stations, targeted its advertising more locally. But newspaper analyst Ed Atterino says in this climate,
it's sort of like standing under a waterfall and saying, what can I do not to get wet?
Just this week, Marriott, the hotel chain, said it would stop leaving free copies of USA Today for its guests. That could cut the newspaper circulation by as much as 3% and reduce ad income even more. Gannett is trying to stay dry by cutting costs and consolidating. This week, it said it would merge five small papers in Michigan. Randy Bennett is with the Newspaper Association of America.
It is a wrenching change that newspapers need to make. But we're seeing that shift happen.
One big investor is paying attention. Ariel Investments in Chicago recently doubled its stake in Gannett to more than 12%. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
The United States faces an enemy it hasn't seen in more than five decades, bed bugs. The problem is so bad now that the Environmental Protection Agency plans a coordinated response, Joel Rose reports.
After World War II, bedbugs were basically eradicated from the U.S. Not anymore. The little brown pests have turned up in college dorms, apartments, hospitals, even high-end hotels.
They're elusive. They can get in cracks in walls very easily. They're a flat bug. They're transient. They're great hitchhikers.
Greg Bauman is a senior scientist at the National Pest Management Association. He spoke to me from the EPA's Bedbug Summit in Virginia, which brings experts and industry together to talk about the problem. Over the years, the EPA has pulled many of the most potent chemicals off the shelves because of environmental concerns. Bauman says pest managers can still kill the bugs, but the public needs to be patient.
This is not a magic thing. This could take several visits.
EPA officials hope to come up with a new plan of attack before the summit wraps up today. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
President Obama spoke again about the economy, but commentator Robert Reich says something was missing in his speech, and that's not a bad thing.
With only $110 billion remaining in the TARP bailout fund, I assume Tim Geithner is preparing to return to Congress seeking more bailout money. He'll bring along the results of his bank stress test. He'll also have bankruptcy scenarios for General Motors and Chrysler, and a couple of CEO scalps. He's already got GMs. Congress won't be happy, but in the end, we'll cough up another $300 to $500 billion. Geithner believes the only way to rescue the economy is to get the big banks to lend money again. But he's wrong. Most consumers cannot and do not want to borrow lots more money. They're still carrying too much debt as it is. Even if they refinance their homes, courtesy of the Fed flooding the market with so much money, mortgage rates are dropping, consumers are still not going to borrow more. And until there's enough demand in the system, businesses aren't going to borrow much more to invest in new plant or machinery either. That's the big issue, the continued lack of enough demand in the economy. The Commerce Department reported this week that retail sales were down in March. The current stimulus package is proving way too small relative to the shortfall between what consumers and businesses are buying and what the economy could produce at full capacity. Meanwhile, the states are dragging the economy in the opposite direction. States cannot run deficits, which means that as their revenues drop in this downturn, they're cutting vital services and raising taxes to the tune of $350 billion over this year and next. This fiscal drag is wiping out about half of the current federal stimulus. If Geithner gets Congress to give him more bailout money, Congress won't be in any mood to do what it really needs to do, which is enlarge the federal stimulus package, and do it soon. Voters are already worried about too much government spending. At most, the administration is going to get only one more bite at the congressional apple. Make that more stimulus rather than more bailout.
Commentator Robert Reich, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.